Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome into the show. And it was an interesting weekend. If you follow the Astros closely. I mean, it really started on, what, Thursday. You've got a series where the Astros were outscored by a lot of runs, and they split the series thanks to Fromber and Hunter Brown being great. And they needed all of their greatness. When we're talking about Christian Walker getting a game-winning single in the first inning, the only run scored in that game, and then DeCenzo and Yiner had to come. That's Lance being Lance, if you heard that sound. You had Yiner and DeCenzo coming through late in the eighth and ninth inning to win the other ball game. The other two, where you're giving up double-digit runs and not being competitive, just toss those aside. That was the weekend. You split a series where you're dominated if we just add up total runs, but you got your two wins because your best two pitchers were at their very best. Fromber, 83 pitches. Complete game, 83 pitches from Fromber. And he needed it because the bats were really silent throughout. If you just look at even the games where the Astros weren't competitive, when those games were over because their pitching was non-existent, it's not like they were ripping the cover off the ball in those. So the Rays came in playing good baseball, and that streak started after a loss to the Astros, and they continued. You got to think that their pitching at least on the two, their pitching was good enough, I mean, to sweep that series. Thankfully, the Astros had better pitching in two of the games. So that was the weekend that was. You'll take it. But, of course, the major story is the stuff that's happening off the field with the Astros and their inability or unwillingness to be upfront about injuries. So I was thinking about this because Dana Brown had to go out in front of the media, had to sit in that dugout and tell the world what was up with Yordan. So we'll hear from Dana Brown here shortly. He gave us a non-timeline because that's actually a good thing to do. Don't tell us when Yordan's going to come back when you're not sure. But the sound we're going to play first is the one that's got to be, I guess, isolated and analyzed because it just speaks to a long-running issue of the Astros either being incompetent or lying. So if I remove this particular part of what they do from what happens on the field, because they still win. They still win baseball games. They still win divisions. They go to World Series. Would I rather have them be incompetent with this aspect of the organization and still win? Or do I'm a big process over results guy, or do I believe they could even be better if there was a removal of some of the incompetence and I'd prefer that they lie? I'm trying to figure out would I rather have them lie to me and just be, or lie to everyone, I guess, and say, hey, we're not going to give them anything. We're going to treat ourselves like we're a hockey organization and give you nothing because why should we? Or would I rather have them just be bumbling fools who somehow find a way to overcome all that and win? I think I'm going to side with lying. I'd rather have them lie because that would mean there's an approach. This is on purpose. And they believe, maybe wrongly or maybe rightly, that it gives them a competitive advantage to not tell people guys are going to be hurt. And I give the hockey example because, of course, Stanley Cup Finals are going on and no one knows how injured hockey guys are until after the year. But that's generally because those guys play. So if you want to lie about a hockey injury, it makes sense because those guys wind up playing in the series. The Astros guys don't play. So what's the point of lying? But I think I've sided on I'd rather you be a liar in this regard than incompetent. Sean, do you have an approach you'd rather them take?
Not this one. Just
of course. If we're going to deal with this throughout, however long this goes on, I'd rather have them just be flat out liars.
Because this way, the way that we live in today,
yes,
we're lucky to live in.
Yeah, in Earth 616, yes.
Whatever Yordan or anyone gets hurt, Hayden Wesneski, whenever any of these guys get hurt, Ronel Blanco, shout out to you. Whatever they say, you immediately just, like, don't believe it.
Yeah.
And if they were lying to you, it would have the same effect where it's like, well, just they're not saying anything, so we have nothing to go off of. When they say, well, you know, right hand discomfort, right hand inflammation, like, you still can't really take that at face value. So maybe they're not lying, but whatever they're saying still isn't true at the beginning. It's just later, you know, a month later, you find out, oh, it's because they didn't see a fracture on the imaging, or they didn't do imaging.
Well, according to, I think, Yordan himself, once it was translated, he got imaging, the one we heard about May 6th, and didn't get another one until they saw the break this weekend. So between, about a month went by between an actual examination of his hand with technology, according to the most recent reporting.
And they didn't see it on the first one.
No, because, and they said the inflammation didn't allow them to see it. And then when they got to see it again, because he was still out there swinging a bat with pain, they were able to say, oh, inflammation's down. Why isn't it getting better? Why is he still hurting? Oh, we see that he's got a 60% healed break. But if he's at 70%, then maybe he'll be better. He can play. But that's where we are. So but there's no timeline. Dana Brown wouldn't put a timeline on it. His return.
Is it possible that the inflammation was due to the fact he had a broken bone in his hand?
It's very possible, Sean.
Okay.
Very possible.
Okay, I'm not a doctor, so.
No, well,
I think that
isn't that what we just decided you would try to be a doctor, at least an internet doctor?
It's funny because my internet doctoring would probably be more effective than the Astros' actual doctoring, which I'm glad they're able to honor the team physician.
Yeah.
Yesterday. I guess you can't cancel that, but.
I guess not.
He probably
had his family come. But look, I'm going to throw the first pitch. Isn't this fun? He probably had people. Oh, look.
I didn't hear. Did he get booed?
I don't know that, honestly.
That might be a real, like, the fans that show up to the ballpark versus the fans online.
I think it's a disconnect. We don't realize that a lot of people just go to the games. They'll buy their jerseys. They just, hey, it's fun to be here and watch the Astros play. Maybe they hear on the way up, or on their way in, maybe they're listening to 790 or something, a report about Yordan Alvarez. But they just want to watch the ball game, watch their favorite team play. We're the sickos who do this for a living, and then the people who are locked in on this will care about the what appears to be a huge level of incompetence when it comes to diagnosing injuries, reporting them, all those as far as them telling us, not the reporters, and I'm not saying they're incompetent, but the Astros themselves and how they're doling out the information. I don't think a lot of people who go to the games care that much about that stuff until, oh, Yordan's not out there. Why is he not out there? Then they may do some research. But as far as going to the games, you just want to have a good time, watch your team play, and hope they win. And they got that.
They got a split.
They got that yesterday.
If you went to all four games, you felt equal about just 50-50. Never mind that they're minus 20.
If you went to all four games, you probably felt a level of disgust and then anxiety in the close games. Like, you watch your team get blown out, you're disappointed, and then in the close games, you're like, can we get a hit, please, to win this game?
Because they might score 10 runs at any given moment.
If you had watched all four, you are always under the assumption that at some point the Rays may turn it on and put up a crooked number. But thankfully, Brown and Valdez kept that from happening. But let's hear from Dana Brown before we go to break. Let's go with the one where he explains a bit of the timeline for Yordan as far as the injury, what it actually is. And then we'll hear from him when we come back about an actual timeline. But here's Dana Brown revealing to the world that Yordan has a 60% healed fracture in his hand.
So even up until yesterday, he felt like, wow, this feels really good. So we got pitching in here because we were trying to get him back for this weekend, actually, because he said he felt so good. And so part of the reason why he felt so good is because a lot of the inflammation and the fluids were gone. And so I think that's why he felt so good. And so we got the pitcher out yesterday, a couple pitchers out yesterday, with the hopes of getting him back this weekend. And he took some swings. He hit a couple balls out, hit a few balls opposite field, line drives. Looked pretty good, but still felt a little bit of discomfort. So what we decided to do was, okay, if it still feels you feel that discomfort, let's just go get more imaging. We went and got more imaging yesterday. And because of all the inflammation and fluid was gone, we were able to see that he has a 60% healed, very small fracture in his hand.
It's an interesting way to put it. Look, he's over half the way healed.
That's the funniest part about this, is that he led with 60% healed.
But it's a fracture.
Fracture.
Look, it's not completely fractured. It's not even more. It's not even more than half, over half the way fractured. In fact, if you look at it, it's 60% healed.
He's almost back. Really, he's closer to being back than he is out. Yeah.
I don't know if it was
clap.
Hey guys, he's close. I don't know if it was asked afterwards. I didn't see it. Did anyone go or ask a question? Do you guys think putting him in the box against pitching and swinging the bat exacerbated the injury?
Yeah, was he at like 75% healed?
Yeah, could he be 80% healed now if he had not ever picked up a bat until he was completely healed? Do you think your inability to see what was actually going on is lengthening the time he's going to be out? Is that possible?
Probably. Because yeah. They're leading medicine.
Yeah. Well, the Astros aren't taking their advice. If they're leading medicine. So there it is. And I'm looking at Jose de Jesus Ortiz because he's translating Yordan's own words. And according to his translation, first of all, the plan was this. We had a plan. Obviously, it was the hit against pitchers yesterday. Obviously, I agree with the plan, but I knew I wasn't well. So Yordan himself knew he shouldn't have been out there swinging a bat. But he went out there. And then this was back on May 31st, and then which is just obviously over the weekend. And then, oh, wait, we got a problem here because he's out there swinging a bat, and he doesn't feel great. And so Yordan thought he could go out there and play in the series, you know, tough it out because that's what you want to do, tough it out in late May, early June.
It's the Rays.
Yeah. And then once they got him back in there and once the inflammation had dropped, the fracture was seen. So those are Yordan's own words as I kind of piece together the thread that Jose de Jesus Ortiz put together. You can find Yordan's words at Ortiz Kicks there. So Yordan knew there was a problem, but he was going to go out there and try to fight through it.
He did hit a home run in the batting practice.
Yes, I remember those words by Dana Brown. He looked pretty good. Looked pretty
60%.
Good. They flew in a couple pitchers, and he looked pretty good. But
a couple Savannah Bananas throwing them the wall.
Yeah, they were doing
the TikTok dances.
Yeah, doing a Beyonce dance before they threw a pitch. That's how serious it was. But hey, here we are, 60% healed, only 40% away. We'll see how long it takes. In fact, Dana Brown won't give you an answer when we come back because he's learned his lesson. No more timelines. So we'll hear from Dana Brown again when we come back. If you want to get in on the show, 713-780-3776. The Astros. A pretty good baseball team, but not good on the medical side, and I'm just not sure why. Is it a medical team who tells the Astros what's what and the Astros ignore it, or is it just pure incompetence throughout? And then we have Dana Brown up there as the guy who's taking all the bullets for what appears to be an organization you cannot trust when some guy gets hurt. All right, we'll hear from
Building the
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, we are from Dana Brown in the first segment, giving a rundown of how this all took place. A lot of people wondering, all right, if not now, when is Yordan going to come back? Dana Brown tells you, I don't have an answer for you, but here's Dana Brown on a potential timeline for Yordan Alvarez.
Have a timeline. As I said, he felt good enough to actually try to hit off live pitching yesterday, and so I feel like he's close, but I can't put a timeline on it because it's going to be like, how does he feel and can he explode through the baseball? Because he's, you know, look, he's a power hitter, he uses his hands, he uses a heavy bat, and so he's going to have to let it heal, but I think that he's on the other side of the healing. I think it's a shorter period, not this long period, because it started to heal.
Mm. So what I'm taking from that is they're more than willing to play him before he's completely healed. It's just to see if Yordan can handle whatever potential pain comes from it. You know my suggestion? Let's get to 100, okay? I don't need well, – he's at 60 as of that quote from Dana Brown. I don't want 75. I don't want 80. Let's just get to 100. Let's see what he's like at 100% healed. The team is keeping their head above water without him. In fact, he wasn't a good hitter when he was available. Let's just wait. You know what? Give me Yordan at 100% and let him work through whatever he has to work through as a fully healthy player as opposed to, oh, let's let him deal with a pain.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, let's get – you're not desperate to get him out there. Half game back. I won't say you don't need him. Of course you do. But it's not a desperate situation right now. So just let him get 100%, get him out there and see what he's got because the season didn't start off well, and then this is just another setback.
And you especially want him for the push, and this team right now has shown that it's good enough to hang in the division. I mean, they're leading the division at the start of the weekend. And they're good enough to, hey, they can at least hold on to this league. Like, they can keep you in it until, I mean, shoot, he's 60% healed. He's almost there. never mind that we thought that he was, like, 98%
by the way,
healed.
60% is not all, I know you're joking. It's not almost, actually.
Well, it's also, like, we're most of the way there. It, like, he even says there, like, he's...
Well, technically, yes, because 50 would be half, yes.
But, you know, 2 days ago when I went to sleep, I thought he was way closer to coming back than he is right now.
Since the moment he got put on the IL, it always felt like, remember the initial stuff? It was like, oh, 10 days. See, after those 10 days are over, he'll be able to grip the bat, he'll swing, and then we'll just figure out when he can swing the bat. It'll be good. And now we're at a point where, oh, he's got a fracture.
I don't know why. Yeah, it is the tone that they have when giving updates. It's always like, no, don't worry. But don't. It's like, hey, don't worry. I got the money. And then you keep going back to this person's like, oh, you know what? I had to move some things around. You know, I had a bill cut. You know, something happened to my car. I have the money. Just give me another week. That's basically how they treat injuries. It's just like, hey, we're good. Nothing to see here. We're good.
And then eventually when the guys with the bat show up, ironically enough, you don't have the money, and he's not healthy, and he can't play.
Yeah.
When eventually it comes time, you never had the money. He was never going to be able to play it on the timeline you thought he was, and now here we are, putting Dana Brown out in front to answer questions, which we are not even sure he's at fault. We just know he has to be the one to explain it to everybody.
They're not going to drag the team physician out there the day before he gets honored
the first
to
pitch.
Be like. To have Chandler Rome be like, why are you such a moron?
Yeah, it's a bad
the first time he ever gets to talk to him.
Yeah, the weekend's supposed to be positive for that guy. He doesn't want Chandler Rome asking him questions.
I am glad though that the Astros have made this very easy for us to like kind of bookmark of like, okay, so he first missed games at the start of May. We're now a month in, start of June. When do you think Yordan Alvarez plays for the Astros next?
So
before the All-Star break?
I guess the question for me is, when did the healing process start? Because if he's at 60%, did that...
We have a long way to go. Yeah. Oh, you mean with the bone in his hand, not with the fan base.
Yeah, I know.
Gotcha.
Yes, the bone in his hand. Did he start to heal last week? Was he at 0% healed last week and now he's at 60? Because if he's like Wolverine and he's got remarkable recuperation powers, then maybe he's back June 15th. I just don't know when the healing began, honestly. Is it a slow process? Is it a slow spreading heal? I don't know. So it's a broken or a fracture. It's broken, but let's call it a fracture because that sounds better. It's a fractured part of his hand. I'm going to say he doesn't play for the Astros. When's the All-Star break?
It's like July 13th range.
I would be surprised if he's only at 60% now if he's back before July.
That's my thought as well. Where let's just take it at face value of like, okay, you're halfway there. So that just puts us to July 2nd. I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay a 10% tax of whatever the hell just happened with this guy.
Yeah.
And your body, just general body of work of, you know what? I'm not going to round up and say, oh, that means it's only 40% of the way there. No, we're still at half, and I'm being nice, I feel like, by taking it at somewhat
60%
face value.
Healed.
Yeah, but then do you still, at this point, I assume, I don't know why they're trying to avoid this. Maybe because he had a broken bone in his hand. They're avoiding a rehab assignment at any point? I mean, I assume at this, by the point he comes back, if and when
he's
he comes
going
back,
to go to, on a rehab assignment at this point, right?
Yeah, so that just like add in another 3 or 4 days.
You got after the All-Star break?
Yeah, give me after the All-Star break.
It's probably a safe bet. Why rush him? I mean, I know we rushed him the first time, but not this time. Not this time.
This guy's going to live in an X-ray machine.
Yeah. We're not going to make the same mistake a fourth time when it comes to our players.
It's crazy that in the city of Houston, there's a team.
Well, yeah.
That it's not even just like they have unique rehab routines that don't work or that they are just off injured. No, it's that like these guys don't know how to turn on an X-ray machine.
They refuse to.
Like, what are we doing?
They just don't. It's not like
the guy with the broken hand.
Well, we didn't
literally
know it was
has
broken.
A commercial with Memorial Hermann.
Sorry, the inflammation kept us from determining because we refused to turn on the machine again.
What do you do when guys are in car crashes? Do they not just is there too much inflammation to see if they have a broken bone? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
We're talking about just one little thing. Maybe this is me being paranoid because of, again, gestures at the Astros body of work.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a name of the bone that's hurt, that's injured in his hand?
No, it's
fractured?
It's just a bone. Yeah.
Because, like, just right now, just feel your hand. There's a lot of bones
there
in there.
There are a lot of bones in
there.
It
could be any one of them.
But whatever bone it is 60% healed.
Love that. Is it one of these little tiny ones that, like, I feel like you get there pretty soon? Or is it one of these bigger ones?
Where it's affecting his – no, it doesn't affect his ability to swing it back because he hit a home run off those pitches they flew in. So
that
it
was awesome. That was an awesome moment for the Astros.
Now, if he had to immediately grimace in pain while he was doing it, then that's a different story altogether.
In his mind, he was like, I should not be out here.
Yes. So we will get an update at some point. Maybe it's 2 weeks from now. Maybe the Astros don't have anything to say until July. Who knows? But all we know is Jordan is – going to be away from the team for longer than they expected, and it could be something where, at least if you go by what this show thinks, he's not available until July. But hey, that's just speculation going by the Astros unset timeline.
Yeah, sorry for being negative about this.
Sorry. I mean,
sorry for looking at this not glass 60% full.
I think, as you said, that's the most ridiculous part of this. I don't think I've ever heard the bone is 60%. I don't think I've heard a percentage of a bone being healed. It's either healed or it's not.
I, like, wouldn't trust. Like, if I went to a doctor that I trusted and they're like, for a checkup or, you know, for rehab check-in of like, oh, yeah, you're about 60% of the way. Sitting on that desk, I'd be like, wait, how do you know it's 60%? Like, what goes into 60% healed versus...
Yes.
40.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Never mind Dana Brown saying it. I definitely don't trust that.
I'm sure Dana Brown got word from some doctor that that's the case. I would just need more information about how that's determined before I would take that to heart.
Was it the doctor that didn't know about like an ice pack to reduce inflammation?
I can't speak to that, Sean. I just know that they got plenty of doctors for plenty of things, and in some ways they're
looking at Jordan's feet.
They're
half of them are like,
look, I don't want to call one of those doctors Dr. Nick. But
they're all Dr.
But they're all, yeah, that's why I said I don't want to call one of them Dr. Nick. They're all Dr. Nick. You stepped on it, but you got there. Eric, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We will get off this, unless you guys want to talk about it, because I think it'll be a storyline throughout the day and the upcoming days. The incompetence knows no bounds. I hope they're just lying to us, and not that there's a real explanation for the lying. I just would prefer that because at least there's a plan there as opposed to what appears to be no plan when it comes to the Astros and how they deal with injuries, particularly to, you know, maybe the most important hitter in the franchise right now, considering his age and the future he has with the team. I just go out there and swing, see what happens. Whatever. Eric, we'll get to you. We'll get to some Texans injury news. Maybe we feel a little bit better about this. Now we have an answer for why C.J. Stroud was not throwing and why Davis Mills was getting all those reps. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's the place you go to, and I don't know if they'll go your pipe is 60% busted It's probably just a busted pipe, and that's how Aqueduct Plumbing Company will address it. And what they'll do is address it with the best contractors that you can find in the area. So if you want to see all the services they provide, go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. They have a nice drop-down menu, and maybe it's leak detection that you need, a camera inspection, a contractor, gas piping, a new construction. They have it all for you. They do it all for you. And if you need a free price quote, they'll do that for you too, because it's nothing worse than having to pay to figure out what's going on. You don't know. You're not a plumber, but they are. And they'll work that out for you free of charge. So take a look at all they have to offer. And you can call them at 281-488-6238. So if it's a big job or small job, you just know you can't handle it. And the thought of dirty, smelly water bothers you, as well it should. The place to go to get that fixed is Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Inside the NBA, they're done with TNT. They're going to go to ESPN. People are fearful what ESPN might do to it. So that has led to Twitter and putting together their favorite moments from that show. A lot of it is Chuck. A lot of it is making fun of each other. So we might play one that I feel like this was certainly before Shaq was there. And I think it was Chris Webber sitting in for a night. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's get to Eric here. Then we'll get to that Texan stuff. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Doug. Great show. Yeah, is there any up-and-coming medical staff that the Astros can trade for during the trade deadline? There's a medical staff that's worse than the VA in Houston. Also, Herb KD is going to make a decision who he wants to play with. If we don't get Giannis, KD might come here. And what happened to the Longhorns? The Roadrunners took him out. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, you called in earlier about, or like last week maybe, about the possibility of the Horns women's softball team and baseball team, men's baseball team, going to the College World Series. Well, we're not getting one of those. And since you called in about it, as far as the Astros trading for a young up-and-coming medical staff, we wish. I mean, who's a team known for having prospects? Does it translate to the medical staff? Can we get one of those trades to happen?
Just the Rays?
Yeah, can the Rays? Well, yeah, the Rays are just
assembly line of anonymous doctors that are all solid.
Are ready to go, and the Rays can't pay them. They're just going to be outpriced, so they bring them in. I don't think that's how it goes, and has been pointed out probably everywhere that Houston's a pretty good place if you are a medical professional. Unfortunately, the Astros haven't been able to procure enough to properly diagnose issues with their players, or at least simply give the correct message to the GM so he doesn't seem foolish when he's out there in front of people telling us one thing a month ago and now another thing. Things are different now. So maybe.
Like some U of H doctors?
Possibly. Who knows? Maybe Tillman won't let him go because he's got them in line to take over with the Rockets. Who knows how all that goes. But he mentioned UTSA and he mentioned the Longhorns, but UTSA took them out twice. They beat them twice in the regional. Longhorns hosted. Don't get out of the regional. Don't make it to the super regional, which was an upset. Happened to Vandy, too. Vandy got beat by Wright State in an elimination game, so Vandy doesn't even get to their regional final. So the 1 and 2 seeds overall in college baseball are out to SEC schools. Of course, the school in the state loses to another in-state school. And I was asking Sean about this because he went to UT, and he also went to UT Tyler. So, of course, I get the back and forth, the smaller school in the state taking out the big Longhorns and how exciting that was. I think Texas State beat Texas earlier. I think they beat A&M early as well. So those are big moments for those two programs, beating those schools in on their fields and their ballparks. So I get all that stuff. But what's the dynamic here, Sean? Are there a lot of UTSA students who go to UTSA simply because it may be a cheaper alternative before they get to UT? Or is it more, hey, you can't get into UT, so you go to UTSA for a couple of years, then you go, what's the dynamic here? Because I lived in a state or grew up in a state where you had a lot of you had systems. You had the Cal State system. You had the UC system in California. But it wasn't a lot of I want to go to UCSD because eventually I want to go to UCLA. A lot of kids, I'm sure it happened, but a lot of kids were like, hey, the UC system's pretty good. I can just go to this school and be fine. UC Davis, all those schools. So what's it like here? Is it just a stepping stone for a regular student to go to like UTSA and then eventually make their way to UT?
Yeah, I'd say probably, just speaking from experience at UT Tyler, it was probably like 30 to 40% of the freshmen that show up are like me and like, hey, I'm doing this for 1 year, then I'm bouncing to UT because they have the something called the CAP program where basically if you go to one of the system schools, you get a high enough GPA, you can transfer into UT Austin. Which was what I did. They have since made it a lot more difficult, if you believe that, to get in that way. But I would say just from that point of view that, yes, I think a lot of people show up to those schools being like, I'm not here for the long haul. I'm looking to – but there are people that go and, like, get degrees from UTSA, UT Dallas is a good one. And UT Tyler as well. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of its own university that is just like a standalone, like people's four-year options. But then it is like there's a system in place to get people there and send them up to Austin.
Got it. I think it might even be on a bigger level when it comes to athletics because there are only a certain number of spots, particularly in baseball where scholarships are limited. And if you're a Texas kid, generally the dream is to go to one of the
it's even more like kind of stratified in that way of like you know who the big schools are in athletics and in baseball where you want to get those offers from.
Yeah, and if you're a UTSA kid who may have not gotten the look that you wanted from UT, what happened over the weekend's a really big deal. Really big deal to take UT out in their building for a chance to go to Super Regional. And they do it. They beat them twice over the weekend. So UTSA making the Super Regional. Congratulations to the Roadrunners. We're talking about interesting names, nicknames for schools in California, like the Toreros and the Titans and all that. That's Cal State Fullerton. And I think there's a San Diego school with that. There's a lot of them like that because there's so many schools there. You can't all be a cat or a bear.
Yeah.
Bulldog. Like that.
Yeah. Tigers.
Yeah. Something has to change. And Gauchos, as you brought up during the break.
Yeah.
So the Roadrunners is one as well. And they get it done. So congratulations to them. And UT women faring better than
Yeah,
UT
we're on to the Women's College World Series. Actually, I'm just going to say the College World Series.
Yeah, it's just the College World Series.
And then
now.
I don't know what's going on in the Men's College World Series.
Yeah, we're not paying attention. I mean, we've got
– Who cares? Honestly.
If
Wright State's in there, please.
For the teams who did not close the deal yesterday, a lot of winner-take-all games today with the final games – in the regionals.
I have another question. I know you're not a college baseball expert, but you
nope.
follow college sports.
I'm aware, yep.
With Vandy and Texas both losing their regionals, both SEC powers, do you think Greg Sankey is going to try to change the way that we choose regional hosts?
How do you change it when you're the 1 and 2 seed and had the games in your building? What do you mean change it?
Playing in the Southeastern Conference, Dell. It's just such a grind.
So you want a.
I think if you win,
regional?
You should just go to Omaha.
Oh, not even super regional.
Top four SEC regular season finishers. You're in Omaha.
So
it's just so hard.
You're in the position where Greg Sankey doesn't care about competition at all. He just put my team in because it's too difficult to play in the conference as it is.
Some would say.
Some would say you are correct. Done. You are correct. Although he would tell you, we were just fine with four because we would have got two teams in anyway. That's what he will tell you. Those are his words. But if we're looking for an SEC revival, you got OU hosting the Tar Heels. Actually, no, it's in North Carolina. It just so happens that OU's designated the home team.
Oh, I hate it when
it's
confusing.
It's annoying. But yeah, the regional is in Chapel Hill, but OU is the home team today in the elimination game. You've got Tennessee against Wake Forest, LSU still alive. So the SEC isn't completely out of it. They just need to get it done tonight.
They should all be in. It should all be the
So the College World Series should just be 8 SEC teams, is what you're saying? Okay.
Maybe throw in Oregon State or whatever.
Yeah, they were good like 8 years ago, right? Whenever the last time they won a title. Didn't they win like back-to-back?
I was just trying to think of a good program that's
I think Coastal Carolina has a national title on their resume relatively recently. Yeah,
yeah
so Shout out to the boys in Conway. That's where Coastal Carolina is, everybody. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get to this, the news regarding a Texan who didn't throw at all. That was CJ. We know why he didn't throw, and apparently he's fine because he was shooting baskets at some charity event at Toyota Center. So no issues, it appears. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Olalea.
All right, so there's a lot of news regarding the Astros and their lack of ability to diagnose an injury. Well, the Texans kept C.J. Stroud out of most of throwing drills, at least for the media. Like, he rarely wore a helmet, if at all. A lot of Davis Mills. And the reason for that was precautionary because he's dealing with a minor shoulder muscle issue, according to sources. This is from Aaron Wilson. You can find it on Click to Houston. That's who he works for currently. And certainly you can go to his Twitter as well. But they're not worried about it. Just a minor thing. And, of course, if you go by context, CJ probably is feeling just fine. He was out, I think, at a Toyota Center charity thing, putting up some shots. So it appears he's A-OK. That's good news. You'd rather have him
so
out.
So it's not 60% healed? It's
well, it's not broken, at least from what we can tell. Okay. It's a minor muscle issue.
Okay.
And, you know, Nick Caley was asked about it. He wasn't concerned. D'Amico let it be known they weren't concerned. They're just, hey. Unlike the Astros, who would have CJ out there throwing digs for 2 hours, the Texans decided just to hold him out with a far less potential problematic issue than what Yordan has. They say, you know what? It's May. Let's not have him throwing the football. We don't need it. We don't need that. And they decided to be precautionary, and they hope whenever, I guess, next team activities – He'll be able to go out there and throw the football. So that's good news.
Yeah, that's good news. It's also good that the Texans are an organization that I can trust with diagnosis.
Particularly with their diagnosis of their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it.
Hey, you know what?
I'm still a little hurt, so I still, you know, the back of my mind, I'm like, what if July 28th or whenever their training camp is, like, doesn't throw on day one. That's when you're like, oh,
sure,
wait.
You'd be a little bit more bothered, but at least
what's happening?
The organization isn't actively exacerbating the problem. Now, I don't know how shooting a basketball does or does not affect anything.
Yeah, but I understand that they're different mechanisms. Like, the muscles are doing different things, throwing a ball versus shooting a jump shot.
Sure.
I still don't love the visual of, you know, jacking up threes.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Maybe if it was just layups, I'd feel better. Or, you know, little two-footers.
When I saw it, I wasn't concerned. But, you know, in the back of your mind, like, if he wasn't able to do the thing he's supposed to do for a living, maybe we don't do this.
Just,
but,
like, for fun, like, let's not do
it. Yeah, but for whatever. I'm not overly concerned about him getting up a couple of shots in jeans. I'm not that bothered by it. But either way, that's the word on CJ Stroud. We will see how he continues to progress and whether he's available to throw a football the next time the Texans get together. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We'll get to our second hour. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We have not talked about the finals, and we will have those finals here on ESPN 97.5 starting on Thursday. So if you're out and about for whatever reason, you want to stay locked in the finals. We'll have all the games here for you. But we'll get to the Pacers beating up on the Knicks and what some people are calling ratings Armageddon. I don't care that much or if at all about that, but I am interested to talk about the game, but we won't get that much into it because we got days for that. But we'll talk about Knicks, Pacers, that series coming to an end, and a report on Giannis and his affinity for the great Tundra of Canada. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.